can turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, 2 Timothy 2. I already had people stopping me on the way in and asking, what is the deal with the title? And I say this as you're turning there. We used to have ladies, like a ladies conference like we have here. We'd have it in Georgia. And a good friend of mine used to do the announcements. And we used to always laugh about this because he would have, it would always call it it would just be Ladies' Day. They would say it's the big Ladies' Day that we're having, and he's real kind of just straightforward. He said when he got the announcements, we noticed one time he was doing it. He said, "Well, this Sunday is the big Ladies' Day," and everybody started thinking, "Wait a minute, that just didn't sound right." And so we joked about it. So this is not for the big Ladies' Day. This is fat servants, though. So we are looking for some fat servants. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you know this. This little acrostic, I don't know if you call it acrostic, acronym, what do you call it, but FAT actually stands for something. It's typical in circles of church to hear someone talk about FAT as their servants, and it's faithful, available, and teachable. When we were thinking about what to call the Ladies of Victory, it was the Ladies Love, Ladies Victory. It just fit so perfectly. And so we were trying to think of what to call the men's ministry at one point. And I said, why don't we call it the Fat Men? And this is the faithful, available, and teachable. And just call it Fat Men. And so we thought about that. But we just thought that just really doesn't fit good. And I've been thinking about this little acronym actually since yesterday. This is something I've thought about before, but yesterday, I had a conversation with one of the men here, and we were talking just about serving. And actually, I've had two conversations. One on Sunday, or Saturday this last week, I had a conversation with somebody about servants and serving and the need for more servants within the church. And then we had a talk yesterday for a long time just about what servants look like, what we're looking for in servants. And so this is a great verse, one of my favorite verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's read that together there. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here's the verse for fat servants right here. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And that's the kind of the verse we want to go through. And I've got, if you want to write this stuff down, again, this is one of those things where if you want copies of stuff, I give it to you. But if you want to write these down, this would be a great little thing to jot down just about servants. The truth is we need more servants. We need servants in the house of God. We need servants in this church. We need servants all around. This church for many, many years, what we would have to rely on is if a military person came in, they'd be here for 3 years and they would float out. And so during that time, we would try to get them involved and try to use them. And what would end up happening with a family is they'd get here, but the husband would deploy fairly quickly. He'd be gone for 9 months, come back. He'd be here for just a little bit longer than they'd be able to PCS. And so there's a great turnaround in servants that were there. But then eventually over time, we started getting some people that would stay and kind of be part of the church. And so those, again, end up becoming servants. And really, to be honest with you, more people should be stepping up into the role of being a servant in some way, shape, or form. And so I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about what a faithful servant even looks like. And by doing that, I'm going to take the word FAT, F-A-T, and the word servant, break it down into some things from 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy that I think will be helpful. The first one is for FAT is they must be faithful. Must be faithful. And when he talks about this, he says, looking for faithful men. Now, what should men be faithful to? If you want to be a servant, you want to be somebody that does something for the cause of Christ, does something that at the end you stand before God and he says, good and faithful servant, what are you going to be faithful to? Well, first of all, you need to be faithful to God. You need to be faithful to God, faithful to the things of God. And that's something you should be. Paul said this, "And I am thankful, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." Let me say something. You've got to be a faithful person if you're going to be used in any way, shape, or form in ministry. You can't be somebody that is halfway in. You've got to be somebody that's all the way in. Somebody that loves the Lord. Somebody that loves the Word of God. Somebody that loves the things of God. You can't be one day hot for God and the next day cold for God and expect to be used of God in any way. And so you've got to be faithful, faithful to God, faithful to the Bible. The Bible says in Titus 1:9, it says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. He should be faithful to the word of God and faithful to the things of God. You know, the Bible, we taught through this in 1 Corinthians, and we taught it in the Bible school. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, listen, you've got to be someone that's faithful. And I thought about this too. Not only faithful to God, not only faithful to the Bible, but let's be honest, you need to be faithful to church. I know that right now we're in kind of an environment where it's not easy to be faithful to church always because there's sickness and there's different things going on. Somebody called me this week and said, hey, I'm just not feeling well. I said, well, then don't come. It's not a big deal. If you're sick, you don't have to feel guilty about not being here. In fact, to be quite honest with you, we would all rather, if you're sick, stay home. We hope you get there, get healthy. All the ones that I know of that are sick, we've told them, listen, if you need something, you let us know and we're coming to go help you. We'll be there. We did that with people that were this last round of sickness. We were at their house bringing food, brought chicken, brought soup, different things. And so everybody I've talked to that's been sick, we've told them, we'll bring something to you. We'll be there for you if you need anything at all. And so you don't have to feel guilty about that. But folks, listen, if you aren't sick and you can be there, then you ought to be there. Or be faithful to the things of God. Or if you're not, let me say this, let me fix that a little bit better too. Some people have compromised immune systems. I would tell them it's perfectly fine for them not to be here. They don't want to get sick. Let me say this, sickness is real. Somebody say, I don't know if it's really real. Get it and then tell me after you get it if it's not really real. It's real. And it really affects people. And so the issue is being faithful to the things of God. Listen, I want all of you to be used of God. To be used of God, you've got to be faithful. What he said in this, he says, the things that they have heard of me among many witnesses, same, commit thou to faithful men. You know what we're going to look for? We're going to look for faithful men and women that can be given the things of God so that they can then give those things of God to somebody else. Teach them. So faithful. Not only faithful, but the F and the A. The A is for available. Available. Available means, again, kind of like being here, not too busy for the things of God. You're going to have to be available. In order to be able to really do anything for God, you're going to have to be involved in the local church. You can't expect to be used if you're not really trying to get involved in any way yourself. If you listen now, real plain. If you're a type of person that's always there and you sit and you watch everything and you're a spectator, then you're never going to figure out where your gifting's at, where you fit. Listen, it's not by accident that you're in this church. Even those that are connected by the internet, listen, it's not by accident. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. You're part of this body and you're there for a purpose. And so not only you got to be faithful, you got to be available. You got to make some time for doing something for Christ. Isaiah in Isaiah 6, and when that vision that he had when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said in verse number 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. There's got to be a desire in your heart that I want to do something. And folks, there ought to be something inside each one of us. Listen, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, there ought to be something inside of you that says, I want to serve my God. In some way, I don't care if you're a child in here or if you're an adult, there ought to be something in you that says, yeah, I want to do something for the cause of Christ. Faithful, but then available. You realize that when you look through the book of Acts, after Paul got saved, Saul, and then he became Paul. Paul got saved. You know, he was doing some things immediately, started trying to do some things, preaching, getting involved, doing something. But you know what? When God called him to the thing that God was going to call him to do, remember, that was to go out and start churches all over the world. Do you realize where God called him from? Serving within his local church. In Acts chapter number 13, it says, the Holy Spirit said to them, separate me out, Paul and Barnabas, for the work I've called them to do. It was years later after he'd been given the vision. Think about it for a minute. You say, well, God saved me, and then God's dealing with me, and I know that eventually I'm going to do something. Well, listen, don't wait until that day. Get started now. Get available now. Get started doing something now. God's called people that used to be adulterers, people that used to be murderers, people that used to be blasphemers. But you know what I don't hardly ever see God dealing with is people that are lazy. Lazy people don't get used. And so what you need to do is not only be faithful, but be available. Available. The T is for in the fat is teachable. Teachable. You know, when I'm looking for somebody to be used in the ministry, I'm looking for somebody faithful, available, but someone that not only is sound doctrinally, but can also be taught doctrinally. You know, some people get so big in their mind that they think, well, I know everything. Nobody can tell me anything. That's not good. It's never good to get to the place that you feel like, well, no one can teach me anything. And so you've got to be teachable. In 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 14. 2 Timothy 3:14, it says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You have got to remain teachable by the Word of God. All right, so that's fat. You say right now, I think I'm fat. I can at least get towards the fat idea. I'm getting there. All right, now let's do servant. Let's do servant. Good job. Mom said, yes, I'm fat. And daughter said, no, you're not. Good job. Servant. The servant. Let me make a few statements about servant. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at that one. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just doing a little study tonight on being, what are some things we're looking for or what does God's Word look for? I'm looking for things like that too, but what does God's Word say should be there? This is a pastor or a leader, Paul, writing to a younger leader, Timothy, and telling him these are some things that he should have and some things he should be looking for. So 2 Timothy chapter number 1, look at verse number 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So let me say first, to be a servant, the S for servant, is you're going to have to be spiritual. You have to be spiritual. Now, there's two things in this that I want you to get. First, he talks about the unfeigned faith. You've got to be spiritual in the sense that you've got to be saved. You know what we're looking for? We're not looking for people that are really skilled and talented. We're looking for people that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're going to have to be saved, but you're also, he says, the unfeigned faith. It's something that's real and spiritual. But then he talks about the spiritual gift that is in you, the gift of God. Stir up the gift that's in you. And let me make a couple of statements right here that I want you to get, that you've got to get a hold of. And that is this. There are some people that are spiritually gifted, but are not very spiritual. See that? So make sure that makes sense. You can be spiritually gifted and not be very spiritual. You say, how do you know that? Well, the whole book of 1 Corinthians proves that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 7, it says, they come behind no other church in gifts, meaning they are the top of all the churches when it comes to the spiritual gifts, and they had great spiritual gifts. It's just that they were backbiting and fighting with each other and strife, and they're taking each other to court, and they were full of fornication and sexual immorality. Listen, you can be gifted, spiritually gifted, and not be very spiritual. So let me say, if you're going to be used of God, then you're going to have to be somebody that is spiritually gifted for God, saved, spiritually gifted, and spiritual at the same time. All right, S and then E, 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Just studying a little bit tonight, 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. 1 Timothy 4:11. I remember it was a while back. I went to a leadership conference, and I sat down with one of the leaders, and I asked him. I said, I didn't have this set up this way. I thought I would set it up this way because it'd be something easy for you to write down and keep notes on. But I just had a few things written down. I said, I'm looking for people who are faithful. I'm looking for people that are available, teachable. I'm looking for people that are loyal, looking for people that are motivated. I went sound doctrinally. And I asked that guy, I said, here's the problem I've got. I can find people that are faithful, but that are not available. I can find people that are faithful and available, but they're so prideful they're not teachable. I can find people that are faithful, available, and teachable, but they're lacking in some other thing. In fact, on the paper that I've got that I was asked, the guy said, but the person has sin problems. You see, what we're looking for, I think what God's looking for, is people that are making efforts. Not for people that are perfect, people that are making efforts in all these areas to shore up all these areas so they can be used of God. And so the next one is an example in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth. You can even be a young person. But be thou an example of the believers. And so he says this. So number one, you got to be spiritual. Number two, you got to be an example of the believers. He's writing to a young pastor, a young leader, an example of the believers. And then he gives you some things to be an example of in your word. You know what? You've got to be somebody that the words you speak are the right words. You can't be a good leader or a good teacher or a good servant or a good somebody that does something for the cause of Christ if you can't control your tongue. In Ephesians 4:25, it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with your neighbor. So a lying tongue put away. For we are members one of another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the use of edifying, in verse 29. So you've got a lying tongue and you've got corrupt tongue that's doing corrupt communication out of your mouth. And folks, let me tell you, that's unclean words that are coming out of your mouth that shouldn't be there in the child of God, and it shouldn't be there in the servant of God. If you're using vulgar language, you shouldn't be doing that. And so let me say this. Not only with your mouth should you be using vulgarity, but with your fingers too. So you put something on Facebook and you write something vulgar out there, people see that. How is that an example of the believer? In word. It's not being a servant. We need servants. We need fat servants, faithful, available, teachable servants that are spiritual, not just spiritually gifted, but spiritual, and that will be an example. Listen, watch now, listen. I want each one of you to be a servant. I want each one of you to serve God. Every one of you. Every one of you to serve God. But you know what? If you're going to serve God in any way, here she comes down the middle of the aisle. She's going to be watching you. She's going to be watching you. He's going to be watching you. They're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching what kind of example you are as a servant of God that's doing something. And so we've got to be an example. An example of believer. And let me say this. Looking at young people back there. It does. He said, let no man despise thy youth. You can be a young person and be an example of the believer. So he said, in word, in conversation, how you carry yourself. And I thought about this under conversation. Are you dependable? Do you show initiative? Are you hardworking? Those are things that need to be there. And so your word, your conversation, in charity, how you love people. In spirit. You remember in Luke chapter 9, he said to the disciples, listen, here's a group of people. Imagine the servants if we said this. Here's a group of people, and they're just not serving. Lord, they're not receiving you like they think they should. Would you have us, I've got an idea. Would you have us call down fire and consume them and kill them like Elijah did? I think that's the right way. I mean, we've got a bunch of people here that are just not following the right way. Let's kill them. You know what Jesus says? You know not what spirit you're of. You have the wrong spirit. Listen to me now. I want you to get this. If you're going to be a servant of God that's used of God, you've got to have the right spirit about the people of God. in your word, your conversation, your charity, your spirit, in faith, you're going to have faith. And then it said in purity. We're going to have to work on the purity. Be a servant of God, you need to have purity, holy. You say, well, I'm not perfect, so I can't serve. No, but you should be striving for these things. S-E, servant, S-E-R. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at that one, 2 Timothy chapter 2. These are things that he wrote to a servant, a leader, and then told him to teach others. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse number 3, the R is this. You're going to have to be resilient. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. You know what being a soldier is? You're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have, listen, there's going to be some times that you're going to get called out to go into some difficult things. We were meeting with Jonathan Swineshop the other day, and he said, I'm leaving Sunday morning to go to the field. And on Sunday morning, when I woke up, I thought, thank God I am not going to the field Sunday morning. It was cold and it was snowing and it was nasty. And I thought, there's no way I wanted to be in that weather doing anything. You know what I wanted to be? I wanted to be sitting in the house with a heater on. I did not want to be in a field. You know what? There's going to be some times serving. Listen, each one of you, I want you to be servants. And I'm looking at some of you, you are servants. You're doing stuff. I can tell you there's going to be days that things just don't work out the way you thought they would. There's going to be some days that people are going to say some things to you that you thought, wait a minute, I'm serving them and they're treating me like this. This doesn't make sense. You know what you got to be? You got to be a good soldier. I remember when I was working with the youth, man, young people can say some horrible things to you. I mean, they can be mean. They can be hateful. I remember one of them said something really hateful and was really mean to me. And I was like, man, this is terrible. I've done so much for this kid. It was years later when I came back through there. I went back to their house to visit their family. And a kid came out and he said, I am so sorry for the way I treated you. You did nothing but love me and try to help me. You know, at the time, you go through some things. It's difficult. There are some difficulties in ministry. There's difficulties in serving. I don't care if you're just a greeter. There are times that you're going to be. I remember when we had guys out in the parking lot trying to park you guys. I remember we had guys in the parking lot trying to park you. And they were trying to deploy. Yeah, Jesus knows. We had guys parking people. And they were like trying to point them over there or point them over there. Or tell them to go this way. And this is what people would do. Because you guys would tell me afterwards. This is exactly what you do. You'd wave people up the deal. And you'd tell them, go right this way. You're over here. And when they got there, they'd wave at you. And then go that way. And they would go park where they wanted to park. And then the next one came up. And you'd be like, you're going this way. Yeah, nope, go this way. And they'd be like, hey, good to see you this morning. Go that way. They just did what they wanted to. And I remember some of y'all were so frustrated. You're thinking, man, these people just don't care. I'm mad. I remember some were mad. Listen, there's going to be days where you're not feeling so great about the ministry you're doing. You hear about the preacher that one time his wife was telling him to get up. It's like, you know, Al messed the joke up, but she's trying to wake him up and get him to go to church. And he's like, I don't want to go today. I don't want to go today. Give me a reason why I got to go. And she's trying to come up all these different reasons. He's like, I don't want to go. He says, give me one reason why I should go. She said, because you're the pastor. You got to be there. There are days that even the pastor don't even want to show up. I know. Endure hardness. You're going to be resilient. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at that one real quick with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse number 5. Watch thou, I'm going to give you the V. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It's a great little phrase right there I want you to get hold of. Make full proof of thy ministry. What I wrote down for V, under being a servant, for V, is you have to have vision. You have to have vision. I'm saying, if you want to be a good servant, If you want to be a good servant of the Lord, you're going to have to not only be spiritually gifted, saved and spiritually gifted, because you've got a gift. If you're saved today, you've got a spiritual gift. But you've got to be spiritual, meaning you can't be looking at somebody else wondering if their gift's better than your gift and all that stuff. You've got to be spiritual. Get in the book. You're going to have to be an example. You've got to be resilient. There's going to be some difficulties. And you're going to have vision. Make full proof of thy ministry. Whatever you are doing, you need to have a vision for what you're doing. You say, well, I'm just a greeter. Well, listen, try to figure out ways to make greeting the very best thing that anybody's ever seen in a church in their entire life. I'm the sound booth guy. Make it the very best thing that anybody's... They've never seen a sound booth guy that's as good as that sound booth guy. Never seen it before. It's wonderful. All I do is flip the slides. Be the very best slide flipper that anybody's ever seen in their entire life. I mean, just make full proof of whatever you're doing. If you're going to be a security guy, make full proof of thy ministry. If you're going to be a preacher, make full proof of thy ministry. If you're going to be a singer, make full proof of thy ministry. If you're going to work in the nursery, make full proof of thy ministry. Whatever you're going to do, make full proof of thy ministry. Just do it. If you're going to be the song leader, make full proof of thy ministry. Meaning, don't just stand up and just, you know, look like, you know, you just barely got here. But get into it and lead the singing. Have vision. You know, the verse that normally gets used for this, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, that verse, really, we misuse it a lot of times. Where there is no vision, the people perish is not really talking about a pastor that has a 10-year plan. Where there is no vision, people perish has to do with is the rest of the verse, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Meaning, if you're a person that has the Word of God, a vision. And so whenever I think about a vision, I think about make full proof of thy ministry. Be thinking of how to make your ministry better. Folks, listen, if you're a Sunday school teacher, make your Sunday school class the very best Sunday school class that anybody's ever been to in their life. Have greeters, have cookies, have coffee, have events that you can have outside of the church. I think that young adults are doing one coming up. That's a big plug for you. Just if you could do stuff, I mean, make it great. Make whatever ministry you've got, make it wonderful. But then not only that, when it comes to vision, have the Word of God be your vision. Teach the Word of God. Whatever you're doing as a minister or as a servant, make the Word of God be the pinnacle of whatever you're going to be doing. I've thought about this before when it comes to vision, about making full proof of your ministry. I want you to get something. People sometimes, you can say, I'm going to put you in a ministry. I think you could be good in this ministry. But people sometimes, their idea of serving in the church is just hold the line. Just keep. We don't want to lose any ground. That's not what make full proof of thy ministry is. It's not let's just keep so we don't lose any ground. It is let's push, let's do more for the cause of Christ. Make full proof of your ministry. There's the V. The A is this. There's only a couple more left here. The A is this. When I gave you 2 Timothy chapter 2, we were looking at it a while ago, it says, to teach thou the faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. The next one is apt. Able. Apt. Apt to teach. You know what we're looking for? What I'm looking for in people that are going to serve is this. People that have an aptitude towards doing whatever they're doing. Let's be honest. If you hate children, your ministry is not the children's ministry. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you are so introverted and grumpy that your face will almost break in order for you to smile, you are not the greeter for the church. You're just not that guy. You probably got a million other things you can do. You can be part of the security team. We need some gruff faces for the security team. But you're not the guy to be the greeter. So you got to be apt to do whatever you're being asked to do. You say, well, how will I know? I'm glad you asked. I want you to turn to one last place in the Bible, Romans chapter number 12, and I'm going to give you a different way of looking at something that you've seen many, many times before. Romans 12. And we're going to end a little bit different tonight with something a little different. So you need to be getting ready there, James, for your five-minute deal. Apt, but not only in the area of apt, just you're able, but I want you to think about something. People get a little leery. We're going to do this when we get to this thing on the fifth Sunday where we're doing this fair for the ministries, the Connections Fair, is I want you to think about something. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just present yourself. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, it's your reasonable service is give yourself to serving God. That's right. You can see that plainly there, right? Verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you got to get your mind thinking the right way, not like the world, but like God. That you may, watch this now, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, here's what's interesting about that phrase. I could see the word prove, following just for a little bit longer, the word prove meaning so that you can prove it to people. So everybody can see what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove it. I can see that. If you wanted to argue that's what he's talking about, I'm fine with that. But I also understand it this way, and I want you to get a hold of it. When David got ready to go fight Goliath, Saul said, put on my armor. And remember what it said? It said he is saved to go. It means he was starting to go and then he stopped. He says, for he had not proved it. Meaning he had never tried it. He had never did anything with it that tried it out. He didn't know about the armor. He hadn't been trying it. He knew about the sling because he had used that before, but not the armor before. So prove it. So let me just give you a different way of looking at this for a second, because the context of Romans chapter 12, what's going to go into next, it's going to talk about being humble and of a humble mind. And then in verse number 4, for we have many members of one body and all members have not the same office. And then it's going to go into your spiritual gifts. Now, all the spiritual gifts, a lot of spiritual gifts are listed there. Let me think for me for a second and see if this makes sense to you, that he's saying you need to give yourself a sacrifice to God. It's not about me anymore. I'm sacrificing myself. I'm giving myself to God. Whatever God wants to use me to do, I'm ready to be used to do it. That's my reasonable service, and that's your reasonable service. And you can no longer think like the world thinks. Don't be conformed to this world, but renewing your mind so you're starting to think like God tells you to think. And then the next thing down is so you can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. I used to get with the youth all the time. I'd say, do you want to know what the will of God is for your life? They'd say, absolutely. And there's several verses in the Bible that talks about the will of God. This is one of them. Listen, give yourself a living sacrifice to God and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And then you can figure out what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You can prove it. Now, the will of God for your life is connected to verse 2, is connected to verse 3. I know that's deep, but verse 2 is connected to verse 3. The will of God is connected to your humility, which is connected to verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8, which is your giftedness. Now, here's interesting. You say, well, down here in these gifts, you have the gift of prophecy, you have the gift of ministry, you have teaching, you have exhorting, you have giving, you have ruling, you have mercy, you have all these different things. I don't know which one I've got. Now, watch now. I don't know which gift I've got. I don't know which ministry I'm suited for. Anybody ever thought that before? I don't know which ministry I'm really suited for. All right. Here's the way you do it. Give yourself a living sacrifice to God. That's your reasonable service. Say, God, here am I. All right? Then get in the book, start transforming your mind to thinking like God does. And here's what you do. Go prove the will of God for your life. So a young person says, or a guy comes to me and says, I'm going to go to wherever and be a missionary. And it doesn't work out. And he comes back from the field. You know, a lot of places are like, you were never called. You shouldn't have gone, blah, blah, blah. I have no problem with a person that will step out of the boat and make a try. I would much rather somebody step out and try to do something and see what it's like and then come back and say, well, that really wasn't for me. Let me try something else. Than I would the people that sat in the boat and complain about the guys that try to do anything. Nothing wrong with stepping out and trying something. You know what I would say some of you should do? Start saying, how can I serve? Where would be a place to plug me in at? I'd like to try something. What can I try? And that's what you ought to do. Just find a place to try to serve within the body of Christ. Say, maybe you're gifted, maybe you're talented, maybe you've got an aptitude towards a certain thing. Well, then try that. Listen, let me make an example out of somebody real quick. Josh is sitting back there. Josh thought, well, I'll do this or I'll do that. I have no, listen, you know what I'm thankful for? He at least has made some efforts to try some things. Listen, there's a whole lot of people that wouldn't try anything. And then just complain that they don't ever get to do anything. At least he's trying to do some stuff. And then the other day I was asking him, I said, what do you want to do? He said, I love media. I love media stuff. I said, well, all right, good. Listen, let's try to find a way to get you involved in media stuff then. If you like media, let's find a way to get you involved in media stuff. He said, well, that's not really serving God. Sure it is. In the day and time we live right now, everything has got some kind of media attachment to it. Figure out what you're good at and get involved in it. Let me say the last two is this. It's in there in those verses, verse number 3 and 4. It says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. And so the end for servant is not prideful, not prideful. You cannot be prideful and be used of God. God resisteth the proud and giveth the grace to the humble. You can't be prideful. You cannot be full of you and be used of God. It's just not going to work. Eventually, it'll blow up. And the last one for the T in servant is you have to be a team player. In verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members, watch, one of another. Folks, you are connected to each other. Now, I want you to get this, and then we're done. I want you to get this. You need each other. And we need you. Every one of you in this place are significant to the body. Every piece. You say, well, I'm not. Yes, you are. Stop believing the lie. You are. You are needed. You're significant. What you need to start doing right now is figuring out where. Where do I fit? Listen to me now. You don't have, I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to be too pointed with people, but I'm going to say this. You don't have to find some foreign place to fit. Just start fitting right where you're at. Just start fitting. When it was time for the transition of Paul to go to the place he's called him to go, the Holy Spirit said it's time. But until then, Paul, get busy where you're at. And so just get busy. Just get busy serving. It may be in a small way. It may be in a big way. Just get busy serving. Get busy doing something for the cause of Christ. I'm going to say this. I'll say it again. I started it this way and I'll end it this way. We need servants. We need fat servants. We need people that are faithful, available, teachable, and all the things we said with a servant. We need people that'll be that way, that want to be used of God. We need them in church, but let me say this more than that. God needs them in the body of Christ. We need people that want to serve. Not just be a spectator. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I'll sit back and watch everybody else serve. It's not like football where you get 22 guys down on the field that beat each other to death while thousands are in the stands watching and cheering. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Everybody's supposed to be participating in it. And we need it. We need it. In every way, we need it. We're going to close this way. I'm going to get Brother James going to come up. He's going to close out for 5 minutes. He's going to give me 5 minutes. Give me a thought that is on his heart tonight that I would have him give you that, and he's only taken 5. He's going to give me one thought tonight that'll be a help to you, and then we're going to close right after that with that. So, got about 7 minutes. So, come on, brother, give us a final thought.
deals exactly with what Pastor was teaching today, is, and what we sang actually, really honestly, is we sing Hold the Fort, right? We sing Hold the Fort. And in that song, we say, wave the answer back to heaven. I'm just going to challenge you guys tonight with two challenges. And it has to do with exactly that, waving the answer back to heaven. Do we truly believe this Bible to be the Word of God? That's a challenge we should be asking ourselves. Do we truly believe that this is the Word of God? The other question is are we teachable? Are we teachable? Are we able to take what is said in this and apply it to our lives? If you would go ahead and, I'll start with the example. Recently, Pastor taught on, he mentions James chapter 2, verses 22 through 25 a lot. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You know what would be foolish? It would be foolish of us to wake up one morning, look in the mirror, see some blotch in our face, and not go about fixing it. And what this is saying is it's foolish of us to read the Word of God or to be preached being hearers of the Word and not going and doing what the Word says. Do we believe that this is the Word of God? If we do not believe this is the Word of God, then we're foolish. We're not going to apply these things to our life. But if we do, we should be applying these things in our lives. And go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, this is where my thought comes from tonight. This verse has been on my mind constantly, especially considering Paul's ministry. And he talks about his being affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. And really, honestly, that verse is my life verse right there. Paul was willing to spill out anything for the furtherance of the gospel. He was willing to give his life for these churches. In Corinthians, he says, the more he loves, the less he be loved. He's spilling out his love to these people, but they weren't wanting to love him back. And in one part of Corinthians, he says that he repented of having to correct things that were going wrong in that church. But then he says, I don't repent, because of the mere fact that he taught the Word of God. He taught what God wanted them to hear, and they applied it to their lives, and they got it right. And that's exactly, and so he wasn't repented of that fact of having to chasten those people, because they got it right. They took what he was saying as the Word of God. And we see in these verses right here, we see in verses 13, we see, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, verse 2:13. When you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know what? There's three things really quick that is explained here. First, we see that he's giving thanksgiving to God because of the mere fact he's praising this church because of the fact that they were able to apply what was taught. And you know what? When pastor teaches us something out of the Word of God, and we take it as the Word of God, and we get it correct, you know what, pastors? Glory to God. Glory to God for them actually getting those things correct. And then the second part, you see that they actually received the Word. They realized that this Word that was given to Paul was the Word of God. And they applied it to their lives. They allowed it to work in them effectually. They were doers of the Word. You know, there's a doctrine called the sufficiency of the Scripture. This is sufficient for our lives. We are supplied everything God intended for us right here. So let me ask you real quick. Do you believe this is the Word of God? Then let's start applying it to our lives like it is the Word of God.
This one. In a day when there's so much going on out there that's so crazy, and everybody's trying to figure out what do we do. Somebody had asked me the other day about the theme for the year. Do I really think that 2021 in America is going to be wonderful and better than 2020? No, but I know that life with God is going to be better in 2021. I can keep my focus on God and the promises of God and keep right on marching through even the most difficult of times. Somebody said to me, I think it was yesterday, I saw somebody were talking about where the economy is going to be at. And I said, well, I had hoped it would be at this spot and we'd be able to do this, this, and this, but it doesn't seem like maybe it's going to be that way. But listen, that doesn't change my God and what my God can do. It has no bearing on it. So how do you know all that stuff? In the book. So do you believe it to be true? Well, this is going to be a terrible year this year. Serve God anyway. We've been trying to figure out, listen, we've been trying to figure out how are we going to get gospel tracts into homes when people are so freaked out about, you know, even standing around somebody. How are you going to get to their door and knock on their door? I've been thinking about that for a long time. I don't think we're going to be able to do it. And they found out they were doing it. They've already been doing it for a little while. Oh, well, good. How's it been going? They said, it's going pretty good. I'll start trying to do it then. I didn't think we could do it. So we came up with an idea. How will we get the gospel to people that don't want you to come to their doors? We came up with an idea. Here it is. We're going to have Brother McVaney make us a bunch of stickers. We're going to buy a whole bunch of brown paper bags. We're going to stick Victory Baptist Church sticker on a brown paper bag. We're going to put a gospel truck in it. We're going to have all the little kids take a little 3x5 card or something and write a little note, Jesus loves you, something like that. Put it in the brown paper bag. And then we're going to go spend a little bit of money. We're going to go get a bunch of Chick-fil-A meals, put them in the brown paper bags, and we're going to go out and stand in front of the schools. I already called the school today to find out if we could do it, and give brown paper bags that has Victory Baptist Church on it with their lunch in it with a gospel tract and a note from one of our kids and give it to them and buy the lunch for them. You know what? They'll take that. They may have got mad at me if I knock on their door, but if I have a Chick-fil-A meal, they're happy. You're going to find ways to serve, to continue to serve God even in a difficult day. Do you know what you need to be? Walk out of here today saying, I'm getting fat. I'm getting fat. Stacy told me tonight this is going to be so great. She's going to love that. I tell you this. She made macaroni and cheese for Gabriella. Not homemade, wonderful macaroni and cheese. Nobody likes that. We like the stuff out of the box. And I said, man, that is torture. You made macaroni and cheese, and I can't eat it. I've got to eat this little hamburger that's this big around it. And she said, if you get us out of there by 8, if we're home by 8:15, I'll let you have the whole thing of macaroni and cheese. And I said, I'm telling them tonight that you try to bribe the preacher with macaroni and cheese to get out on time. And we're not doing it. All right. She's going to play. And I'm going to pray real quick. She's going to play and give you a chance just to pray tonight for a couple minutes. Then we'll go. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the message we've heard tonight. Just we need to be servants that are faithful and available and teachable.
Father, this is the Word of God. We need to receive it as it is, the Word of God, and apply it to our lives and do something with it, like we heard exhorted tonight. Father, I pray we'd all leave here with that thought in our minds and we'd do something with it. Father, we love you. Thank you. Bless these people and help them now in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to play. Why don't you pray tonight? Just for a few minutes, pray. Talk to God about something, some decision you've got to make in your life.